Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Picture that super soft t-shirt you love sleeping in. The one that gets softer and softer the more you wear it. Now you can bring that same lived-in softness to your entire bed with Signature Vintage Wash Sheets from Boll & Branch. This all-new collection is even softer than your favorite t-shirt, with a distinctly relaxed look and feel for your best night's sleep. Just like all Boll & Branch bedding, Signature Vintage Wash Sheets start with the highest quality, 100% organic cotton. The lived and feel comes from a small batch washing process, creating a level of softness you've never felt before. And it's not just the feel. Boll & Branch mastered the laid-back aesthetic using a special technique that creates the well-loved look you'll find with vintage jeans. And true to the Boll & Branch hallmark, Signature Vintage Wash Sheets get softer and softer with every wash. Right now, you can get 15% off your first order with promo code ODYSSEY and save on their most relaxing sheets. So head to BollAndBranch.com today. That's B-O-L-L and Branch.com.
CBS Wednesday.
We have so many cool, diverse people from different backgrounds, different beliefs, different upbringings, and it just keeps growing.
I'm a citizen of the United States.
I'm a hustler.
I'm a big Taylor Swift fan.
I'm the queen of the tribe. I'm a
survivor. I am playing whatever role I gotta play.
I'm gonna play this game full speed.
I ain't going down like no punk.
A new Survivor Wednesday on CBS and streaming on Paramount Plus.
Welcome to the Helium Boys podcast, a serious, non-serious USC podcast. I am your host, Shotgun Spratling, alongside my co-host, Chris Trevino, who has unfortunately enforced the rules to make me switch on and off as a host, and it's my turn, so he's making me do it. I'll do it this time. I think he's done it like six times in a row, it feels like, when we're supposed to be switching every other time. Chris, how are we doing, though?
Shotgun, much like society, it will break down if there are not rules that are enforced. So we have to follow the rules, Shotgun. We've been skirting the rules a little bit because it's the spring. You know, it's the off season technically. But in the fall, we're going to be right back on that alternating schedule, Shotgun. No exceptions.
There's no such thing as the off season, Chris. You should know that. Especially for me, because just because you continue to do this football thing doesn't mean I can do that. So when we're here talking about the football program, we might talk a little basketball, baseball, throw that in there every once in a while, but it's about football. And Chris, it's a big week because the spring game is going to be Saturday, which means it's the conclusion, the last week of spring camp. So we're going to talk about some of the things that we've noted from camp. And it's been an eventful last week. You know, we haven't been doing this every week because it is, quote unquote, the offseason for football. But we did one last week, and we're back again this week because we got to look at the spring game and all the things that have happened since we did an episode just last week. But we got to start with our two-minute drill. Chris, are you ready?
I'm ready.
Okay, I'm not. But I'm almost there. All right, here we go. You have 2 minutes starting now.
Yeah, there's a lot going on this week. It is the final week of spring camp. You have the spring game coming up. You have USC hosting some notable names, I'm sure, this week. And then for the spring game, there will be some big names that attend. Jakeem Stewart, the number one defensive lineman in 2026. But on top of that, the spring portal, the spring window, is opening tomorrow on Tuesday. And we know USC has some holes to fill. They need to get going to fill these roster spots for the 2024 season. They are key spots. They will, I think it's maybe unfair to say make or break the season, but these are spots they need to fill because there are some giant holes on this roster. And how well USC does over the course of these next two and a half weeks through the end of April, while the spring window is open, is going to help define what the 2024 season will look like. We know what they need. We'll talk about those needs. I ranked those needs today, so I want to get Shotgun's opinion on those, but it's a big week. It's going to be a busy week and a busy stretch here of April as USC coaches are wrapping up spring, opening the portal, getting ready to make some calls. It's double duty for them. A lot of schools already finished up their spring camp a week earlier, or this past weekend. Some schools already had their spring game. So they have a little bit of a leg up. They get to recruit a little bit more freely, not having to worry about spring camp. I think USC is in a good position. They have a good defensive line coach, Eric Henderson, who was not part of the staff when they had their first run in December. I think he'll be a secret weapon for them because defensive line is going to be a big emphasis for this portal window around. And I'm just excited to get back out to the Coliseum and cover a game this weekend, even though it is a showcase spring game, what have you. But it should be fun, Shotgun. Ready to shoot some video. Ready to take some game day ghost notes once again.
Ooh, I'm excited about those. 2 minutes on the dot. It may be the off season, Chris, but you are in prime season form.
I'm ready, baby. I'm getting ready. I'm ramping up. And now that I've gone, that means it's only fair that you go, Shotgun. I do this every time. I always click the calculator instead of my stopwatch. I apologize, but I'm ready if you are ready.
You can't calculate what I'm going to say.
Okay. I can't. I can't do it. It's a quantum equation. I can't do it. Your time starts now.
You can't calculate because I don't know exactly what I'm going to say. This was a very interesting week. There was all the rumors about Bear Alexander. There was that put to bed. Then, instead of Bear Alexander, USC does lose a defensive lineman, but it's Isaiah Rakes who is going to go to the portal. Jason Zanamella, the freshman, that one was a surprise. But Rakes is probably the biggest surprise to me. It's like you bring somebody in, they've been here for 3 months, and immediately they're out. So I start wondering, and I don't think we've gotten a full report on what exactly has happened there. But was it just a bad fit? Was he not playing well? And the coaches are like, you got to go. We got to find somebody else. You're just taking up roster spot. You know, this is someone who was, I think, signed already with House of Victory and all that type stuff. And now that contract is thrown out the window. At one of the biggest spots that USC needs, they now have to replace someone who they thought was going to be someone that could plug up the middle. So that was definitely confusing. And, you know, when, you know, the news starts circulating in our text thread and stuff, and we, you know, hearing this, hearing that, I was not hearing anything. So my eyes just popped like, what? This is who's leaving? Like, there's so many other players in this team. I'd be like, oh, okay, I can see why they would want to leave. But like someone who just got here, very strange. But this is the transfer portal world that we're in. And this is going to be even crazier starting tomorrow when the transfer portal officially opens. And you're going to see a slew of people go in. I'm wondering if it's going to be the craziest transfer portal cycle that we've seen as far as the windows open, like the different names that come around versus the entire recruiting cycle year long. It's just, are we going to see some random names coming in there? And people are like, that person's going there? Why is that person going in? And is there going to be a lot of talent? Or is it going to be it's going to be barren. There's been a couple of these windows where it's just been like, oh, that's it. There's not anybody else coming in. We've heard some big names and they never pop in. We'll see if that's the case this time.
Well, matching me right on the dot at 2 minutes. I just impressive Shotgun.
Yeah, we're on our game. What do you think? Chris, we're rolling now. We'll see if the Trojans get rolling. You know, they've been rolling in recruiting. Thought they'd been rolling in the transfer or portal as far as what they were able to do in December and January. But when you lose Isaiah Rakes, that one stands out to me. Like I said, what was your take on that one? Did it surprise you as much when you start hearing people start mentioning behind the scenes, like this could be someone who's leaving?
Yeah, I mean, Rakes and then even Jason Zanamella, two kind of really big surprises for USC to have them leave kind of like in a span of 48 hours, 24 hours, whatever was it. And then Traquan Fagans, the defensive back, one-time Alabama transfer, who came in late in the spring or committed late in the spring last cycle. So those are the three that have jumped in as of right now. But Rakes, Jason Zanamella, yeah, both very surprising to me. Rakes obviously was being tabbed to be that nose tackle, big body in the middle to eat up space, and was such a huge win for USC because USC didn't frankly, have anyone of that size on the roster. And we knew how important it was going to be to have someone to plug up the middle for that Dan Tinlin scheme. They need a body, 320 plus pounds, a guy like that. Now, Rakes wasn't, you know, the most, I guess, elite level guy there. He was a backup most of his time at Texas A&M. Obviously, Texas A&M has recruited very well at the defensive line. He was caught playing behind some high caliber guys, but he was still an experienced backup, and he was going to be moving into a starting role with USC. So it was all on paper for him to not, I don't say breakout, but have a career season. He's going to be coached under Eric Henderson, who obviously is great with defensive linemen, gets guys to the NFL, knows what it takes to get to the NFL. It all just made sense on paper. So to have him off the roster suddenly, it is very surprising. Now, I saw a lot of people on social media like, now, you know, that Eric Henderson's been recruiting at a high level for this high school class, they're like, oh, let's all be honest here. Isaiah Rakes wasn't at the caliber that we needed. We could go out and get a better guy. Yeah, that's also true. But on the flip side, you have no idea who is going to be in the portal. You could hear all those names all you want. Oh, we hear this big dog is getting in the portal. Oh, we hear this other guy over here is unhappy. He's going to jump on the portal. But it does not matter, Shotgun, unless they actually enter the portal. You saw what happened with Bear Alexander. Looked like he was going to go in the portal. And then, he finds some NIL money laying around. He stays put. That happens all over the country. You hear about these guys being unhappy throughout spring, and then there's talk of them going in the portal, and then suddenly their bank account's a little heavier, and they're not going anywhere. So you can hear the talk, but unless someone walks into that portal, you have no idea what's going to be there for you to recruit. You have no idea. So is it better just to have held on to Isaiah Rakes? I'm assuming there's going to be some guys in the portal, but again, that's the unknown of the portal. You never know. So there is a little bit of a risk now, USC going to this portal without that big body on the roster. So I would have liked them to, you know, try to keep Isaiah Rakes and then bring on another guy. But as of right now, you know, they still have that massive hole to fill for a guy who's just, you know, took a little 3-month vacation to USC and now is going off somewhere else.
Yeah, interesting. It took a sabbatical. You know, left the South for the West Coast, just a 3-month sabbatical, and then he'll probably end up back somewhere on the West Coast. Back in the South. But yeah, you mentioned he doesn't have the most production, but he filled the need perfectly for USC. And exactly what you mentioned, there's the unknown. Like, yeah, someone could get in there and be the next Vince Wilfork, could be waiting in the portal 2 days from now. Or no one could go in the portal. You know, you could get Jordan Addison out of the portal, or you could hear all these rumors about Marvin Harrison Jr. and he never goes into the portal. Like, that is the portal, and that's what makes it so difficult for coaches right now, is that everyone always says, what, the transfer portal is free agency of college football, right? It's just like free agency. It's not just like free agency. In the NFL and free agency, you know who's going to be a free agent. Now, there are some guys like, oh, well, there's a question of whether they get the franchise tag or something like that. But, you know, at least a select portion, like, these guys are available because their contract is going to be up. Yes, you can plan to go after a guy. Now, he may re-sign with his old school. I mean, with his old team, he may do that. But you can at least have that conversation with them. Technically, you're not supposed to have those conversations with anyone in the NCAA.
Temporary.
Where's the Pitt coach at to be upset?
Yeah, where's Narduzzi? Get Narduzzi on. Let's have him.
Yeah, where's our soundbite for Narduzzi? But yeah, so you don't know what it's going to be. And even if you did know, say there was another Bear Alexander, or so say Michael Williams or Christian Miller or one of these guys from the Georgia defense line that USC has recruited in the past. So those are familiar names for people. So throw them out there. Say they are available. You still could use Isaiah Rakes. Like, it's not like you're just going to, like, if you get a nose tackle that's better than Isaiah Rakes, you're just going to be like, well, don't need you anymore. You're never going to play. No. You rotate on the defensive line. The big bodies at 320 pounds, 340 pounds, those guys need the most rotation. So, like, you need an extra one of those guys. So losing him is definitely huge. Again, don't know where the snag was there Was it NIL? Was it homesickness? Was it didn't get along with Eric Anderson? Don't know the behind the story, the scene story right now. At least I've not heard anything on that. I don't know. Chris, you may have heard something. I don't know. Is there, have you heard anything, or is there anything that you can reveal, or is there nothing you can reveal? Where's your status on this revelation?
I still haven't heard anything concrete that I'm willing to like even tease out there. This is, you know, still kind of happening. I think
Chris
you'll
has
hear
heard something, folks.
No, I'm just saying. I think once the craziness of, you know, spring camp being done and kind of the portal being a little more settled, and you're kind of figuring out who you're going to get, you'll hear more about why certain things happen. You know, we have a long summer shotgun to go, so I'm sure some stories are going to be popping up and some things True. About why certain people left. And another part of the unknown is you don't know how healthy a guy is. You know, in the NFL, you can do all these physicals and you can get all their medicals and stuff. You don't really have that access at the college level. You know, you could get, yeah, you could get a guy who's this next Will Fork, as you said, or you get, you know, the next Isaiah Sopcich and plays two snaps and has both his legs broken or something.
Oh, he played like six snaps against Notre Dame.
Okay, I'm sorry. Triple it up. But you never know. That's the unknown. That's why Gerard is so cautious about, you know, taking these guys with the medical backgrounds. You don't really know what you're going to get once they get on your campus. And there's plenty of tales of that. So, again, the unknown is so great. I wish they had figured out a way to maybe keep them around. But I guess we'll find out more about why that split had to happen.
Yeah, and what is the reason? What is your, you know, Lincoln Riley likes to talk about, what is your why? Why do you play football? Why do you love football? That type of thing. What is your why for the transfer portal? Why are you going in? Is because, you know, me and this other coach, we just clash. And maybe that's it. Personality issue. I'm in a bad situation. There, you know, I got family members that are bothering me all the time, whatever. I need to get away. Okay. Those are fine. Or is it, I'm not getting playing time. Are you any good? Or I'm not getting enough money. Are you going to be a cancer in the locker room if you don't, you know, get paid? Are you going to sit out a game and ask for more payment at some point? We've heard of that happening in like the SEC a couple of times, where players have been like, "You don't pay me more money, I'm not playing this weekend." So like, all those things, like, who are you getting out of the transfer portal? Are you going to have to deal with any of those type issues? Or are you just getting someone who's productive, or someone who's been banged up and now they're healthy, or someone who the coaching staff at another school is not going to let you know that, yeah, this person's really banged up and they're constantly hurt. That's why we're asking them to leave the program. There's so many things that go into it. So there's definitely the wild card element of the transfer portal, not knowing who's going to be available, not knowing the person that is going to be available, all the information about them, you know, until you try to do as much digging as you can, but you're doing it in such an expedited process that you end up with, you know, last year they ended up with the commitment from Ethan White. I'm like, oh, this is going to be a great commitment. It's a great fit for USC, exactly what they need. Unfortunately, I think it was a back injury that he had that, you know, basically forced him to retire from football. And those are the type of players you may find in the transfer portal, guys that look super enticing, and then it comes out a little bit later, like, no, that's not necessarily the case. This person's not going to be able to play at the potential they have because of XX or X. So it's going to be really interesting to see when it opens. Now, I want to get your take on the timing. Obviously, USC knew when the transfer portal was going to open, decided to run their spring camp to where it will open, and they can actually bring guys on visits this weekend to the spring game. And you could point out, if you're bringing a defensive tackle in, like, look right there. You see that spot right there beside Bear Alexander? We need you right there. You see why this defense, like, you see they're getting pushed back right there. You see they're not getting that pin. That's where you would fit in. You could do that. But as you mentioned, you are also preparing for that game and all the hoopla around it, just the general recruiting aspect of it, bringing in kids and trying to get everything lined up. And a lot of that won't necessarily fall directly on the coaching staff. That'll be on Annie Hansen and her staff. But the coaches still have parts to play in that too. What do you think about the timing of lining your spring up and your spring game to not happened before, so you can fully focus on the transfer portal, but coincide that first week with it a little bit different a plan of attack, I guess, by USC.
It feels a little bit like a chestnut checkers kind of move by USC, banking on being able to get guys that are just now in the portal that can now talk to coaches, getting them on campus for visits for the spring game. Remember, Eric Gentry was at USC spring game 2 years ago, and that ended up helping seal the deal with him. So I like the move. I know it's a little bit of a gamble, given that you have to split your time with recruiting high schoolers, recruiting transfer guys, and now prepping for that spring game and still doing spring practice. You have all that to handle, but you know, that's still kind of the craziness you deal with in December. So you should be used to it. So I do like it. And it seems like USC has been a little more calculated with these decisions. Case in point, you know, having their final golden hour, big recruiting weekend for the 21st of June, which is usually the 15th. That's how it's been like the past years. But June 21st will be the final official visit weekend for schools. So they're getting the final visit of anyone. So it was a calculated move to make it the 21st, make sure their big thing, their big bash was the final thing a lot of kids got. So USC, a little bit thinking ahead in the future. So I like the move here, making their spring game the week of the week the portal opens, so they can get guys on campus. Remember, that first visit is usually the crucial visit when it comes to transfer guys. They move so much quicker, that recruiting process. You know, it's usually, you know, within 2 weeks that thing happens. So if you can get them on campus first, that's usually when you can lock up a deal. We've seen it multiple times during this process, and you're going to see that multiple times through this process. The guy will say, oh, I'm hearing from all these schools. Oh, my first visit to Michigan State. Oh, look, I'm committed to Michigan State. So that's how it works in the portal. It's so much quicker. So if USC can get multiple first visits for that spring game, I think that's a huge win and a huge move.
However, you see a ton of midweek visits during transfer portal time. So if USC's trying to sell them, hey, come out for the spring game, does someone go on a visit on Wednesday and Thursday and a school that's closer to them, wherever their locale is, I'm like, oh, I want to check this place out. And okay, they fall in love with it or whatever. And also, is USC trying to bring anybody in midweek right now? And you still have all these other things going on with the team and with setting up things for the weekend, for this big weekend, that you're not as able to play to able to as focus as much attention on these transfers. Like, I think that's where the gambit is of trying to, you know, balance, you know, the transfer portal with, you know, having your spring game after it opens. But I think also if you get past that first week, you can say, or another thing that could be detrimental is, yeah, players. Now, we've already seen Isaiah Rakes, Zane Namela, and Traquan Fagans, you know, that they're going to go in or are already in. If you have anybody else that just pops up this week, and like you were expecting them to do something in the spring game, is like, you're not going to continue to give them reps. So, you know, do you lose something as far as your actual ability to have competitive periods in the spring game? Because so-and-so leaves and suddenly you just don't have the depth because there's an injury or whatever it is. So now you can't do something in the spring game itself, when if you did it the weekend before, then you would have still had it. And even say you're a starting DB or something goes into the transfer portal, or someone who's on the cusp, someone is like that's not starting and thinks they should be, but in the spring game or the spring, whatever you want, showcase, they go out and ball out. And they wouldn't have entered the transfer portal if they had had that experience before the transfer portal opened. Does that make sense? Like if they were on the edge and, you know, they ball out and you're like, yeah, okay, we see what you can do. You've proven to yourself that you're probably going to be our starter in the fall, type of thing, and or the person in front of you sucks at the same time. And instead, you've already entered the portal, and the coaches already said we're not gonna let you play in the spring game. Of course, you know, you could just wait till after the spring game and then enter the portal. There's a window, but I don't know. There's just a lot of different dynamics that could go into it. It seems very interesting to how do you go about it? If you're a coaching staff, what do you think makes the most sense? And, you know, you could look at it different ways and say, this is USC's nailing it. Or you could look at it and be like, what are they doing?
Yeah. It's definitely going to be interesting to see how all the pieces get shuffled and what the spring game reveals. And hides, and essentially, because I know a lot of schools are worried about a random backup balling out in the in a spring game and being like, okay, now maybe they're going to get some portal interest on the back end. So yeah,
great point.
Spring game is great. Spring game is a very interesting. Yeah, you know, I think USC has an advantage with it being on the Pac-12 network because no one's going to be able to see it. So I think it'll be a nice little a little hidden spring game. So not a lot of coaches can check out maybe some poachable players from USC's roster.
Yeah, that's a point I didn't even think of, but exactly, because Gerard will tell you this for sure. I'm sure he has told you this, but never pay attention to spring game results. And I think back when he says this, I always think back to Victor Blackwell, who had three touchdowns in a spring game for USC. Former modern day receiver, ended up actually leaving school because of some off the field stuff, I believe. But he shined, and you're like, oh, maybe this guy could be, you know, can be the next receiver for USC, and then never really played at all. So like, you take those with a grain of salt because, hey, you know, Jalen Smith's not participating right now. John Humphrey's not, you know, going to be available for the spring game. So like, if a receiver goes off and you're like, that's the next guy, you start looking at it like, who is he going against? Is he going against the third string guy? Is he going against a walk-on? Or is he going against somebody who's elite and, you know, he's going against a true playmaker on the other side? Those are the things you have to consider too when you're looking at those spring game performances. But you could do something in a spring game that definitely catches the eye of a different coaching staff. And then I think, was it Xavier Alford had an interception, I believe it was, 2 years ago.
Well, you know, Sam Green balled out last camp.
Yeah.
Or last spring game. He was like, oh, this guy, maybe the pass rusher of the future. Then obviously ended up doing nothing as a freshman. So we'll see. We'll see what happens. Don't take too much stock, but it is a nice little preview.
It is
to
what maybe is
to come to. Yeah.
And so, you know, we'll get back to the transfer window. I want to talk about that and what USC's biggest needs are. But I want to talk about the spring game preview. And since we're talking about it, it is a preview because you take it with a grain of salt, but you also see what happens. Last year, what happened? What was the most memorable thing to you from last year? Was it Sam Green?
Was it Sam Green? For me, I guess the first thing that stood out was those young running backs, Marion Peterson, Quentin Joyner, especially Quentin Joyner, because we hadn't seen, obviously, a lot of spring, but then we knew they were good running backs, and we knew you trusted Kyle McDonald's evaluation of them, but Quentin Joyner looked like a dude in that game. I mean, he led the team in rushing, I believe, scored a couple times. I know he scored one touchdown, had a big run, proved to be what we were saying about him in spring, is that he's hard to bring down. He's like blocky and pointy, and guys can't grab him to take him down. And he's got some speed to him. And it looked like, okay, Quentin Joyner looks like a dude. Now, obviously, he didn't translate into like a true breakout season for him. He was stuck behind some veterans on that team, some pretty good veterans. But now going into this spring game, the expectations are different for Quentin Joyner, as right now he's running back number two and could have a really, really big breakout season in the Big Ten this season. So yeah, I think back to those young running backs kind of showcasing themselves first. That's the first thing I think about.
Very interesting that you say that. So I'm going to give you the two things that stand out to me. One was the call on, well, I think it was Jalen Smith or one of the DBs, the targeting call that was, they were called for targeting, and then it was like, are they ejected from a spring game? Like, that's Pac-12 refs in their finest. That was the first one that stood out, but that's not really about what we're talking about here, the players and whatnot. But it was Marshawn Lloyd, that run that he had. You know, he didn't play very much. And the same thing the year before that, if you remember Keontae Ingram, it was our first time to really see these guys, or 2 years ago before that, Keontae Ingram. First time getting to see them, really. And Keontae Ingram had that one where he caught the ball. I think it was just like a little swing pass or something, and he went up the sideline. He made like seven guys miss, and you go, okay, I didn't know that that was there, because we haven't been able to watch any practice, obviously. But you're like, okay, USC might have a dude at running back, because Ingram had some success at Texas, but hadn't been the guy. You know, he had gotten his role taken over by Bijan. And so he didn't know, is he going to be the starter? Is Vaia Malapaya going to be the starter? Like, what's going to be there? And you're like, okay, they got a dude, and he ended up being a draft pick and everything. And same thing with Marshawn Lloyd. Like, don't really know what to expect from him. He's had the injuries in his playing time and stuff. And then he had that one big highlight I don't remember if it was a run or a catch, but you had the one big highlight and you go, okay, that's who's going to be their starter. Like, he's going to be up there with Austin Jones for sure. And then the freshman did have, you know, some flashes, but to me, it was Marshawn Lloyd and getting to say, okay, I know spring game results don't matter, but I can see what this guy is capable of. So it's not the, oh, he had touchdowns or, oh, he had this many yards. It's, oh, this guy can make some guys miss. And also on the flip side of that was the, I think it was Austin Jones was like the first play. And Gerard's mentioned this before in your guys' podcast that USC didn't tackle on that very first play of spring. And you're like, oh, I thought they were going to be addressing these issues, and apparently not. And that ended up being the lingering thing for, you know, the entire season. So take it with a grain of salt, but also pay attention. So I know that's a, you know, kind of a oxymoron there, but you know, I think it's interesting with the spring game that, you know, you can see certain things while also you got to be pretty careful and not take too much into it. What are three things though, or players, three players that you're excited to see for the spring game?
This quick add-on point to the end. You're not going to learn everything from a spring game, but you will learn some things.
Good point.
I think
good
that's
point.
That you won't look everything, but you'll learn some things. And yeah, so three things, or maybe three players. I think number one, I could just say offensive line, you know, like Jonah Monheim at center, but I'm really curious to see Elijah Page again. You know, he's going to be stepping up into that left tackle spot. As of right now, he's the starting left tackle, been operating as that left tackle. And I could even say like the two young tackles, Elijah Page, Tobias Raymond. We haven't seen much of Tobias Raymond this spring game. I expect him to get a lot of work. So this will be our first like true indicator of kind of what he looks like on the field. We know he's gotten so much bigger. You know, he looks like a grown ass man now, but does he play like a grown ass man on the field? We want to see that on the field in his new 300 plus pound body. He's being, you know, looked at as the guy who could step up as a backup right now to being that kind of swing tackle guy. So those two young tackles are two guys I'm looking to see. I want to see those young wide receivers ball out again. You know, it's a fun group. Obviously, Deuce Robinson, Jacoby Lane, Zachariah Branch, Mekhi Lemon. He's been banged up a little bit, so I'm hoping he's healthy for this game. Obviously, they don't have a lot of wide receiver depth, so there's going to be a lot of rotation and reps. Guys should have plenty of opportunity to catch the passes in the spring game. I just want to see those young wide receiver group show out. Defensively, I just want to see anything from the defense. You know, we haven't really seen anything. You know, I want to see who's lining up where. What does it look like? Obviously, it's going to be a pretty vanilla base package. We're not going to throw anything extravagant and out there for us to see. But are they tackling? How does that size look on the field now? Who's starting? Who's working with Witt at what defensive back spot or linebacker spot? What are they doing with the linebackers? What are they doing with the defensive line? Who's playing the defense? I mean, you see, I'm just throwing out question after question after question, hoping to learn some of those things. I know Shotgun's will be watching the tape very closely, see what's going on, but I just want to see them tackle. Don't want to see what they look like. What's their intensity? What's their confidence level like? Obviously, they've been stalling very slowly, but I just want to see something, Shotgun. We haven't seen anything.
That's true. I just wrote new defense for mine. You want to see, you know, kind of the, what does your base formation look like? We don't really know the answer to that. They've talked about, you know, it could be a 4-2-5. It could look more like a 3-4. I mean, we'll see how they line up and what personnel they're kind of using. And they're not going to give anything away as far as, you know, exotic blitz packages or anything like that. But like, just where everybody's lining up, like those simple things. And then how do they flow to the ball? Are they getting off blocks? Those type of things that, like, can we compare this a little bit to last year? And again, we don't want to take too much out of it, but can we compare this a little bit and see how guys are moving around? Do they get calls? Is there end up being a broken play and somebody's wide open? I think there was one of those last year in the spring game where there's a receiver just wide open because there's broken breakdown in communication. So that, and then in that same vein, I want to see the safeties. How are they rotating these guys? Who's playing where? Who's playing with who? Who's playing with whom, I guess, actually? Who's playing the nickel spot? I know, you know, that John Humphrey's not going to be available in the secondary. I know that Jalen Smith has been limited, Lincoln Riley told us. So I don't know if he'll be participating. We'll see on that. But I kind of want to see where everybody's at. And Prophet Brown apparently has been playing really well at the nickel spot. So looking forward to seeing how he does there and how he kind of fits in with that group, because you got four or five guys in the safety room once you get Zion Branch back that you think are capable of playing. So does Bryson Shaw look like a, you know, a capable defender that you can throw in there, along with, you know, how does he play? Is he playing beside Kamari Ramsey? You know, where's Akili Arnold lined up? Like, those are the things I want to see from that. And then I just put the quarterbacks, you know, it's supposed to be a quarterback competition. So a spring game would be huge normally for that. We know it's not a real competition. We know it's Miller Moss that's going to be the guy there. But I want to see what Jaden Maiva looks like. I haven't seen him in person. I haven't seen him, you know, I've seen watch some of the UNLV highlights and stuff, but I want to see what he looks like, you know, in a USC offense, in a USC jersey, and see what he looks like. And then how does Miller look as, you know, he takes the reins and, you know, the connection with those young receivers? How does it look like it's continuing to grow? Those type of things.
And I just want to point out that Anthony NLA sent in a question about what we were just talking about. We had this on our docket, but I just wanted to shout him out because he does ask questions for this podcast. He just wanted to know, you know, which groups are you really interested in watching individually, which players specifically you're watching. He noted that we're probably going to be talking about this on the podcast, which we are, but I just wanted to give him a little love for, you know, putting that question out there. And that's kind of an added benefit or added question that we had in our minds when we were talking about this topic.
Gotcha. All right, Chris, we're going to talk a little bit more about spring game. We're going to talk a little bit more about the transfer window, but first, we got to get a break. We got to get our sponsors in here. We got to talk, you guys, you know, pay the bills, that type of thing. Another way to pay the bills is, if you guys don't know, you can go to peristyleshop.com and get your merch, your Helium Boys merch that has Chris Trevino's face on it. And you can cut, put something, you can tape something over my face and it'll still be a good looking shirt. But it has both of our faces on there. So you can cover up one of us and it'll be a good looking shirt. But you can check that out at theparastyleshop.com. So get over there and get your Helium Boys merch as well.
Selling a little or a lot? Shopify helps you do your thing, however you cha-ching. Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage, to the first real-life store stage, all the way to the did we just hit a million orders stage. Shopify is here to help you grow. Whether you're selling scented soap or offering outdoor outfits, Shopify helps you sell everywhere. From their all-in-one e-commerce platform to their in-person POS system, wherever and whatever you're selling, Shopify has got you covered. Shopify helps you turn browsers into buyers with the internet's best converting checkout. 15% better on average compared to other leading commerce platforms. And sell more with less effort thanks to Shopify Magic, your AI-powered all-star. Shopify powers 10% of all e-commerce in the U.S. And Shopify is the global force behind Allbirds, Rothy's, and Brooklinen, and millions of other entrepreneurs of every size across 175 countries. Plus, Shopify's award-winning 24/7 help is there to support your success every step of the way. Because businesses that grow, grow with Shopify. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odyssey podcast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/odyssey podcast now to grow your business, no matter what stage you're in. shopify.com/odyssey podcast.
New CBS Monday. NCIS is back.
We need all hands on deck.
So grab your gear.
NCIS!
And join our elite team.
What are the charges?
Murder.
New cases to be solved.
Double tap to the chest.
Same caliber as the murder weapon.
And new criminals to catch.
That's the bomb maker. Where's the bomb?
A new NCIS, Monday, 9, 8 Central, on CBS and streaming on Paramount+.
Check out our new NBA show, Beyond the Arc, part of the CBS Sports Podcast Network, where you can find me, John Gonzalez, NBA insider Bill Reiter, and Ashley Nicole Moss, 5 days a week talking all things NBA. Whether you're looking for insightful discussions, upbeat commentary, breaking news, interviews, or coverage of all the biggest stories in the NBA, our new show is the place to be 5 days a week. Download and follow Beyond the Arc on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your favorite podcasts.
Welcome back from the break. Make sure to check out our sponsors. Also, please like, subscribe, and review the podcast on your favorite podcast listening platform. You know we love those 5 stars. Also, if you have any questions, comments, requests, you can send them in at podcast@uscfootball.com. Just make sure that you're saying the Helium Boys. We want to get those questions. We love your questions. We always put out a tweet about it and get some responses. You can email us questions throughout the week if you have those as well. We really appreciate it when you guys are helping us out and interacting as well. Chris, we now have a game, though. You told me there's going to be a game, so let's jump into it.
love gamifying things because I think it's better for the fans listening. They're like, oh, just a little twist on, you know, a preview. Also, it helps Shotgun focus a little bit more if I make it a game. To be honest, I'm just being honest. Uh-huh. But this is kind of like a take it or leave it, but I'm calling it Will It Happen? So these All are right. some things that happened in the last spring game. And I want you to tell me if they're going to happen. Why or why not? Obviously, we're on a time limit here, Shotgun, so not too in-depth. But maybe if I give an example of, like, this player is going to have 3 touchdowns. You're like, no, I don't think that's going to happen. I do think this player is going to have 3 touchdowns. So you can be like that. Does that make sense?
All right.
Does that make sense? Okay, yes. Let's start with the first one. An easy one. Zachariah Branch leads the offense in receiving. He did that in last spring game. His kind of his little breakout debut. I believe he had 94 yards.
He's been a little bit banged up. So I'm going to say it's not going to happen. And I think Jacoby Lane, I just think it's going to be a Jacoby Lane breakout, you know, continuation from the Holiday Bowl.
How many yards are you thinking?
70.
70? Okay. Okay. We'll mark that down. I don't want to come back. 70 yards for Jacoby Lane.
Do we know the official format?
I don't think so. Okay. I don't know if they're going to change it in any way, but yeah, they haven't sent that out yet, or I do not know.
They've kind of gamified, you know, scrimmage periods type of thing where it's offense versus defense. You know, there's a certain point total for the defense. That's what they've done the last 2 years. We'll see if they do that again, or if we can get some actual just live action. That'd be cool.
Next one. Will it happen? A running back with the reception of at least 24 yards. Marshawn Lloyd had a big catch and run last season. Will it happen this time around?
It's not going to happen. Woody Marks is going to have 2 catches, but the defense is going to tackle better. So you're not going to get all the extra yards. So not going to happen.
Okay. It's not going to happen. Will it happen, Shotgun? 1 single receiving touchdown in this game. There's only 1 receiving touchdown last year. Went to Mario Williams. Obviously, he's not here. So will there be just 1 receiving touchdown?
I think it's going to be multiple receiving touchdowns. I think there's even going to be... Okay. No, I thought... I almost got crazy, Chris. I almost said a tight end would catch one, but that's not happening. Come on.
Oh, no. That's crazy. That's crazy talk. So he's taking the over on 1 receiving touchdown this year's spring game. Miller Moss, at least 12 rushing yards.
Did this happen last year?
This happened last year. He ran for 12 rushing yards last year.
Classic Miller. Runs when he can't be tackled. That'll happen. It'll happen this year.
Who had more rushing yards, Maeva or Moss?
Moss. I think Maeva wants to prove himself as a passer and show what he can do. And Miller's just going to be like, if I do a read option and you guys are crashing, I'm taking it. I don't care.
Let's stay with Moss here. I know he did not throw a touchdown pass last season. I'm banking on you saying that it's not going to happen this year. He's going to have a touchdown pass. But Miller Moss, 3 touchdown passes. Half of what he did in the Holiday Bowl.
No, we're not showcasing the passing game like that, Chris. No, not going to happen. 2 max.
2 max.
1 of them to Jacoby Lane. Just jump ball. Just let Jacoby go be Jacoby. But, yeah, I think they're going to try to focus on the run game more. That's what they need to see more of, actually. So if they're actually trying to grow themselves, you would be wanting to see what the offensive line can do, and that's – you know, so when the lights are on, quote unquote. So I'm going to go with no, not going to happen.
Over under 7 combined penalties. There were 7 last year. You're just simply thinking if they're going to be more disciplined or less disciplined.
Can we even call it discipline if it's the Pac-12 refs? Like, wait, what? Who's the refs? Who's going to refs? Is it going to be Big Ten refs? Is going to be.
I feel like it's Pac-12 Network. It's going to be Pac-12 refs. But are they out of the job? Are they Pac-2 refs? I don't know. This is a great question.
Yeah. I mean, technically, USC is still a member of the Pac-12 until July 1st, I think it is. So I guess it would be Pac-12 refs. So there's no telling, Chris. I can't answer this question because they could call targeting on a play that's not targeting in a spring game.
So he's refusing to answer the question. He is giving a no answer for this one. Okay.
Based on USC is leaving the Pac-12 and I'm not going to deal with Pac-12 officials again. I'd already resigned myself that I would not have to deal with Pac-12 officials again.
The defense forced 4 turnovers in last year's spring game. So will it happen? Will it happen, Shotgun? 4 total turnovers for the defense in 2024.
I think the offense will be a little bit cleaner than that, so I'm going to go with no.
Okay. A defensive back leads the team in tackles, which is always not a great sign, but will the defensive back lead the team in tackles this year?
I'm going to have some confidence in the linebackers. Their play is going to be improved, so you know, one of those inside linebackers, Gentry, Mascarenhas, Arnold, or Cobb, I think will be the guy to do it.
Okay, let's stay with the linebackers here because Tackett Curtis had 3 tackles last year as a freshman, which was the most among the linebackers. So a freshman linebacker has at least 3 tackles. They have 2 in that room with Desmond Stevens and Elijah Newby.
I think this comes down to playing time and who's healthy and how much these guys are going to get opportunities. Rajon Davis missed some time early in spring. Seems like he might be available. So if that's the case, like, are those freshmen getting on the field? Because you got 4 veterans. And you're going to have 2 inside linebackers on the field at a time. I know they're going to want to get some of those guys some reps, but how many reps? Or am I completely wrong that one of those older linebackers is going to lead the team in tackles because they're only going to be out there for a drive, and then they're going to be off the field the rest of the time so those young bucks can get it. So I'm going to go with yes, that's going to happen. And I want to change my answer for the previous one. I don't know what the answer actually is because what is Anthony Beavers? He's the one that's going to lead the team in tackles. Does he count as a linebacker since he's played some linebacker this spring?
I would count him as a defensive back.
Okay. So I think I'm going to go with it. That's going to happen then. I'm going to give it to him.
Okay. My leading tackler. Okay. We have 4 more Shotgun. Let's get these strong. This is a big one. And I know we use this term lightly for a spring game, but the defense has 2 sacks. Will it happen?
Yes, because it's a spring game and you just touch somebody, it counts as a sack.
Over or exactly 2?
Come on, Chris. You're changing the rules now. I answered your question.
You answered my question. Will it happen? Jacoby Covington picks off 2 passes.
No. It won't happen. It won't pick off 2. He might get 1, but it won't pick off 2. They know better than to throw at him now.
Okay. A freshman running back, in this case, Brian Jackson, scores a touchdown. As I mentioned earlier, Quint Joyner, Marion Peterson, 2 really nice games in that spring game. Brian Jackson, who has looked impressive from a physical standpoint, does he get a touchdown in the Coliseum this weekend?
Heard positive things about him, so I think it will happen.
Okay, Shotgun, the final one. The spring game last year was won by the defense. 42-34 over the offense. I feel like you know where I'm going with this one. Will it happen? The defense wins the 2024 spring game.
Look, if last year's defense could win, then this year's defense should win. So I'm going to go with that.
And there you have it, Shotgun. You just played a game of will it happen.
Awesome. Well, I've got 4 minutes before I have to leave, Chris. I have a prior engagement. We have 1 question that was sent in. We also had the question from Anthony, but Brandon in San Diego asked, any news updates on Solomon Tuliala-Pupu? Would love to see him have a healthy season under the new defensive staff. We would definitely love to see that as well. Any updates from practice on Solomon Tuliala-Pupu?
We have not had any firm updates, but he has been practicing. He's been coming out in full pads every day, got a big smile on his face. Very hyped up to be back on the field. So as of right now, he's been practicing. He has not missed any time. He has not had to have a yellow limited jersey at all. So great signs for him. Looks like he's doing everything. He's participating in the individual drills, at least what we can see. So as of right now, he's having a very solid spring camp and has remained healthy, which is the most important part for him this spring.
Exactly. And hopefully that continues throughout the entirety of the season. And who knows? Is that a guy to play next to the Barry Alexander? So we got to answer the question. We teased it. What are the biggest needs in this transfer spring window? Now, we'll talk more about transfer portal stuff as the offseason continues after the spring game. But Chris, give me your biggest needs. Do you want to go top three? Is that what we're doing? How you want to do this?
I'm just going to give you my top three as I rank them. You can either disagree with me, rip them up, fire me, whatever. Starting from the bottom, I had impact defensive tackle as my three, veteran offensive tackle as my two, and then my number one need is a starting nose tackle. Those were the three for USC.
Oh, so you're saying multiple defensive linemen in this. I was about to say, why are you putting defensive tackle at three?
But I'm breaking out individually because you only have like
the nose tackle and D tackle. I got you.
Yes, because you need the big body in the middle, but you also need another 300-pound guy, not necessarily going to play nose tackle for you, but a guy who can rotate in. Maybe you put on the opposite side of Bear Alexander when you want to go super big in the Big Ten. So I just think they need another veteran big 300-pound guy, and that's why they're in my third spot behind experienced tackle, offensive tackle, excuse me.
Yes, I think the nose tackle is definitely the number one. You can play smaller ball in the Pac-12, and Lincoln Riley, everyone talks about the move of the Pac to the Big Ten, and Lincoln Riley kind of poo-pooed it and said, hey, it's just football. They might put another lineman on the field. It's not just that they're going to put another tight end on the field. They're going to put three tight ends on the field. And if you don't have anyone to take care of the interior of the line, you're going to get pushed back and you're not going to be able to stop the run consistently. So that's going to be the part that USC has to address. They got to start with a nose tackle. I would love for them to get another defensive tackle as well to add some depth, but that's going to be hard to do because what are you selling them on? Hey, come play behind Bear Alexander. Like that to get the quality you want someone that, feels like they can come in and start. So I think that's going to be a battle. Offensive tackle is important. I feel a little bit more comfortable. Not that I've actually seen anything, but just hearing the different words of people, feel a little bit more comfortable where the offensive line is at than when it entered the spring. Still don't feel comfortable with it. And I don't know. You would want them to be a tackle. And then that way you have flexibility with Mason Murphy. You can move him inside if you want. But if you can get a legit guard too, you wouldn't turn that down if that was the only choice. Offensive guard or offensive tackle, you would prefer tackle, but you would also take a guard if you had to take somebody just to add depth, to get at least one quality offensive lineman, whether it be guard or tackle, preferably tackle, but to add that depth to give you potentially 7, 8, 9 guys that you feel like you can trust, with Quinones and, if Telelele or Alani Noah, if those guys are to be trusted, those type of things, then give me one off the wall. What's the one position you want them to go after? You're just like, it would be great if they could add a person at this spot to make them better.
Oh, that's interesting. Kind of. So not included in my initial top five, even.
Yeah.
So just like not those
top three. You only did three.
Okay. Right. I did five though on the site. You can check those out, but maybe like a dope tight end. They're really young. I know the tight end position has been like whatever the last like 100 years for USC, but I think if there was like an elite level tight end, they're very young, obviously Leighton McCree. It sounds like he's going to come back at some point, but I think like an elite dope tight end, if one happened to come into the portal, we know USC or Lincoln Riley's had success with tight end development when he was at Oklahoma. So yeah, I think an elite tight end would like kind of up the level of the offensive ceiling.
I mean, if you can get somebody like Jaheim Bell that Florida State got this year from South Carolina, it's kind of a big bodied wide receiver, but is just a super athletic tight end. That would be an interesting addition there. The one I would say, I think any other wide receiver for depth. If you can find someone who's a little bit different than the receivers you have, great. But the other one that kind of stands out is like, can you find a unique edge rusher? You know, this is just adding on to what you have. Like, you know, I think that's the one area where it would be just advantageous if you can add an extra piece there. So that would be my pick is, you know, along with the actual needs, if you're just getting a want, then you find a, you know, a pass rusher off the edge that can really add that can help you at minimum on third downs and long and passing situations that what and whatnot, but you know, otherwise can help you out all over. All right, Chris, do we have any shout outs? Do we have anything else that we need to address before we close out this podcast?
We're done. You got to get out of here.
That is true. I do need to get out of here. That's going to wrap it up for this edition of the Helium Boys podcast. It's part of the Peristyle podcast family. I've been your host, Shotgun Spratling. Thank you to my co-host, Chris Trevino. Thank you guys all for listening and submitting questions, all that type of stuff. Again, please like, share, subscribe, leave us that review. We want to grow the podcast and, you know, hit up theperistyleshop.com. We, you know, so you can get your get our faces on your t-shirt. We hope you can join us for the next episode of the Helium Boys podcast. We're out of here.